So, hello again, and welcome to another episode of Sick Questions with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where boo best friends and comedy frighters ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, author, founder of my presidents, and staff writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, Daniel, no, Brian, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hello, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie. I write for a show called Helmerican Dad. Ooh, I'm sour. Mm-hmm. Sour, because the candy eat.
Yeah.
Sour and bony.
Ooh, that was pretty fun. In case our listeners couldn't tell, it's our Halloween episode, which is, as a theme, will be dropped shortly after the intro, because the stuff we prepared has nothing to do with Halloween. Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting Quick Question. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/QQ. Start living a better life today.
Thanks to ExpressVPN for supporting Quick Question. Keep your data private from data harvesters when you go online. Visit expressvpn.com/QQ and you can get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package.
Thanks to Everlywell for supporting Quick Question. Everlywell is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/QQ. But I guess we can jump right into some spooktacular stuff. What are the kids going to be for Halloween this year, Soren?
Okay. My son is going to be a construction worker.
Perfect.
He's so excited. And my daughter is going to be a snail.
Adorable.
It's very cute. It's a very cute little costume. There's one child's secondhand store in all of Los Angeles, as far as I know. And it's in Culver City. And it's called Noodles. And every year I go get my costume there because they're just loaded down with them for good reason. Your child wears a costume once and then can't wear it again because the next year they're 2 feet taller. And I got the snail costume that's got this huge cushy shell on the back, and then it has these little ears over the top. It's just great. So damn adorable. And this will be the first year that they really get to trick or treat in our new neighborhood.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I don't know who will actually take them. My wife and I'm sure, will Rochambeau or something, because somebody has to stay home and man the house.
Yeah.
You know, hand out the candy. But I decorated this year for the first time, too, and I'm very pleased with my decorations.
Oh, that's cool. What did you do?
Skeletons running up my house.
Oh, tight.
Yeah. I've got kind of a xeriscape situation in my front yard, which means that it's all native plants, and there's kind of swells. There's some topography to it. There's like swells and hills and things. And climbing out of one of these swells is a skeleton that I put a green light down below it so that it looks like this is some sort of pit. And then I've placed skeletons going up my house and up on my roof as though they are climbing up to try and attack the house.
Yeah.
And it looks so cool. But man, skeletons, it's tough to find cheap skeletons.
Yeah, I'll bet. And then they've just got to be in storage for 12 whole months after that.
There's you've just pinpointed exactly why my wife didn't like this idea. She was like, I brought home 6 skeletons. And she was like, where are we going to put those? Anyway, I've got some ideas.
That's good. I'm going to get like some kind of Halloween wreath, I guess, for my front door, because the way things work in my apartment building, it's a very formalized and sterile affair where if you want to participate in Halloween, then you need to let the building know in advance. And then the families who have children in the building are given a list of who to go to on what floor. So...
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like kids Logan's just, like, run
they,
Halloween.
They get off on the floor and they're like, okay, we go to these 6 doors and then we ignore all these other doors and that's just going to be our night.
What? That sounds terrible. That's not
Halloween. Yeah, so I want to have... I don't think I'm going to dress up, but I'm going to put like some kind of decoration on the door to reinforce that this is a Halloween-friendly affair, and Jackson will be dressed up against his will as a cute purple octopus.
Oh, that sounds great.
I already put the octopus head on him and he fucking hates it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, as well he should.
Yeah. And his reward for enduring this terrible costume that's very uncomfortable is the sound of the doorbell ringing. multiple times throughout the night.
I guess I've never really even thought about how Halloween works in a city like that, in a city where everybody lives in apartment buildings. Are there actually kids in the streets too that are wearing costumes and running up and down the streets, or does that just not exist there?
It doesn't exist for me. I mean, I'm in an area where I'm only surrounded by apartment buildings and office buildings. So, and like kids have no reason, unless you are a kid who lives in this building, you will not go trick-or-treating within here. So like we're servicing the people who live here, period. No one's going to come off the street and try to trick-or-treat here. It seems, yeah. I mean, everything that is different from your childhood seems sad and wrong. So this seems sad and wrong to me. I'm sure to people who grew up with it, it seems very normal, but I don't care for it.
Yeah, I don't, that does not sound nice to me. I think, you know, I've been in offices before where they do like a thing for the kids, where kids are allowed to come to the office for the day in their costumes, and then they can walk around to the different desks and get candy. And it's always such a grim affair. It's really tough because it just does not feel like Halloween. It feels so forced and hollow.
Yeah. And you imagine that those kids do proper trick-or-treating after that, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you assume that they then go home and then they get to run around in the streets and be crazy. It just sounds like that. It sounds like an apartment complex. It's just, and now we go to this door, and now we go to this door.
Yeah, which is very strange because, like, it's the... A huge part of Halloween for me, once you get past a certain age, has very little to do with the candy. You're in between that period of your life where it's all candy, and the other period of your life where Halloween is a more, like, is a much hornier affair indeed, with late teens and early 20s being sexy at each other. That period in between, that nice twilight period where the appeal of Halloween is going out for hours with your friends and just like wandering around the streets, that's just like a fun bonding thing to do. And like you really, you know, you're sort of over candy at that point. You really look forward to it for like, there's no parents around. I'm 12 years old just hanging out with my friends and running into other friends in like, the one night where it feels socially acceptable and safe to just be out wandering for a couple hours.
Right. Yeah. I wasn't super into the property destruction as a child of that usually accompanies that, which is the kids who are sick of candy and still want something to do. And they're like, all right, well, we're going to teepee. We're going to egg.
Yeah.
But there was something really valuable about you were unchaperoned at a certain age. You didn't have to go with your parents anymore. And you were allowed to be out at a time when ordinarily you were not out.
Yeah.
You couldn't just be outside in the dark by yourself when you were that age. It's hard to forget that. I mean, it's very easy to forget that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really nice to like just seeing your friends in that new environment and being. It felt very freeing. And I guess you just don't get that. You just in the city.
Yeah.
Maybe you do. Maybe they just wander the streets, but it doesn't seem very safe.
Yeah. I imagine maybe like different parents will coordinate different events and things to do, but I feel like kids in my apartment building, they're just going to have like a list printed out on a white piece of paper that's like, okay, these are the doors where a person inside will give me candy. All right, yes. Good. Let me check them off the list.
Yeah, in my old neighborhood, I think there was a lot of people who did not want to participate in Halloween. And the way that you would identify who the houses were is it was like a Depression era hobo situation where you had like some sort of marking on the door,
right,
that allowed everybody to know we did glow sticks. Like if there was a glow stick near your front door, they people were like, oh, okay, these people celebrate Halloween, we can go up there, we can ask. That was as Logan's Run-ish it ever got for us. It's I think here in my new neighborhood it will just be pandemonium. It will be kids, and it's, you know, it's a street that dead ends, so it's kids are just going to be out in the streets. It's going to be wonderful. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. I was excited. My first Halloween where I was like living not in college, my 22 years old, I moved to Los Angeles and I was in an apartment complex, but it was still like, it seemed friendlier to people who could wander around off the street because it was like an open complex. Now I'm in an apartment building. No one's coming in here, but that was a complex and I was on the ground floor and I was so excited at the prospect of having trick-or-treaters that I was like, I'm going to be the guy who has full-size candy bars.
Of course.
Cool. Absolutely. The dream, the house that people go to every year, like, that's the house, that's the guy. And so I bought so much candy, and fucking no one came for the entire night, except at the end of the night, I was looking out the window, and I saw kids walking by with their parents, and, like, kind of looking through the window, and I was like, yes, 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 please come. And I brought, like, this whole, like, giant tray of full-size candy, and this kid, I was like, yeah, take it, and he grabbed a Hershey bar, and, like, no judgment, but some judgment, there's a lot of different options on there, and he grabs a single Hershey bar, and I'm like, hey, I didn't get a lot of trick-or-treaters, so you can have more. And he looked at me, and he looked at his mom, and I'm like, I'm serious, like, what am I going to do with all this candy? Please take more. And he takes a second Hershey bar and leaves.
Oh, my God. Oh. Oh, no.
I've still never had, like, being in a place of my own and having, like, a real, what I view as an authentic trick-or-treat night of having trick-or-treaters come to me.
It's so nice. I love it. And I did never have the experience as a child. I lived in the woods, as you know.
Yeah.
Where the only thing coming to your door each night is ghosts and mountain lions.
Right. And it was all like, if people did go trick-or-treating, it was always like, my dearest Evelyn. Yeah. It's been 3 days since I left for the second house in our street. I grow weary at the thought of candy.
If somebody had come to our house on Halloween, I would have hid. There would have been a problem. Like, there would have been, this is somebody who has hit somebody with their car or something out on the road and wandered here. But having actually kids, having a neighborhood where I get to actually hand out candy is so much fun. And seeing the kids is so great. And I know all their costumes and I can identify their costumes. And they're terrified every single time they walk up to a house because they have no idea how to interact with human beings yet. So, like, they come up and their moms are in the background or their dads are back there going, like, you got to say trick or treat. They're like, trick or treat. And then I'm like, hey, oh, Optimus Prime, looking good. And I love giving the kid shit, love playing with him. And I even love when it gets to be like 10:30 at night and all of a sudden the 14-year-olds are coming to your door and they're like, they're wearing, like, one of them has some toilet paper on their arm and the other one has a Burger King crown. And they're like, hey, trick or treat. And I'm like, yep. I was expecting you. Here you go. Here's some sour gummy worms. I love every single aspect of it. So excited for it this year.
Anything can interfere with your happiness. Anything can prevent you from achieving your goals in your head. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can connect in a safe and private online environment, so it's convenient, and you can start in just under 48 hours. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed, which is so important. BetterHelp is available for clients worldwide, and BetterHelp offers a broad range of expertise, which may not be locally available in many areas. BetterHelp is not a crisis line self-help. It's professional counseling. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions and send the message to your counselor anytime. Licensed professional counselors who are specialized in depression, stress, anxiety, sleeping, trauma, anger, grief, self-esteem, sexual and gender identity, and more. And so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/QQ. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. That's betterhelp.com/QQ for 10% off your first month. Thanks, BetterHelp.
Think about everything you've browsed, searched for, or watched or tweeted just like in the last week. Now imagine that over your entire life, all of that data is being crawled through, collected, and aggregated by third parties into a permanent public record, your record. Having your private life exposed for others to see was once something that only celebrities had to really worry about. But in this era of the internet, everyone is a public figure, so everybody is in danger of this happening to them. To keep my data private when I go online, I turn to ExpressVPN, and you can too. Go to expressvpn.com/QQ and get 3 extra months for free. Hey, did you know that there are hundreds of data brokers out there whose sole business is to buy and sell your data? What are they doing with it? I don't know. I don't get it. It's just scary. The worst part is that they don't have to tell you who they're selling it to or get your consent at all. One of these data points is your IP address. That's very valuable to a lot of people. It's used as a unique identifier, and it can get exactly where you are. It can pinpoint your location. But with an ExpressVPN, my connection gets rerouted through an encrypted server, and my IP address is masked. Every time I turn my ExpressVPN on, I'm given a random IP address shared by other ExpressVPN customers. That makes it more difficult for any third-party people who might be lurking to identify and harvest my data. And the best part is how easy ExpressVPN is to use. No matter what device you're on, phone or laptop or even your smart TV, all you have to do is tap one button to get protected. So the thing I like most about my ExpressVPN is that it allows me to watch sports when I want to. Man, those blackouts are such a struggle. But if there's a sport that I want to watch and it's in another location and for some reason my state won't carry it or my city won't carry it, I can just prop my ExpressVPN on there and then I can watch what I want. But I also know that each time that I use my computer, that anyone in my family uses the computer, uses their phones, that we are protected. So if, like me, you believe that your data is your business, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN on the market. Visit expressvpn.com/QQ and get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/QQ.
What are you giving out? What candy are you giving out?
Got a few different options. The gummy fruity type candy. So I've got some Sour Patch Kids, some watermelons, Swedish Fish, and then I've got the chocolate varieties. I've got Take Five, which is I've been eating a lot of. I made sure I got a selection pack that had some Take Fives in it. There is some almond Hershey's in there, which I will judge any child that takes those. And
yeah. I mean, you're. If kids pass that test, that's only becoming your problem.
I know. Then I have to have.
You're going to be the guy who's stuck eating these for breakfast every day.
Yeah, I know. There's only one candy that I'm worried about. So if I got Reese's, I got Kit Kats. Those will go easy. There's one that I'm curious about, and that's I have some mini Paydays.
Ooh.
And I'm not sure what kid has refined enough taste to eat the Paydays. And if they don't, that's fine. I don't mind being stuck with Paydays.
What's the bones and blood of Payday?
Yeah, so you start with a nougat, a very simple blue collar nougat on the inside. Yeah. Then it's got kind of a caramel over the outside of it that holds on peanuts, salted peanuts. And so this candy has this is like the skeleton of candy. It doesn't have a chocolate skin. It doesn't have anything going on other than just this coat of peanuts that are constantly falling off of it while you eat it. And inside is a nougat. It's the simplest candy there possibly is. And my daddy ate them when I was a child. And I was like, why? Why? eat a Three Musketeers at least. Like, that seemed like the lowest tier to me. And Payday was below that. And yeah. Since I've become an adult, I've really graduated into enjoying them. So...
Huh.
Become my dad, I guess.
Maybe I'll give them a shot. You know what I've been doing lately? This is a
gummy worms.
Halloween adjacent. I mean, yeah, obviously I've been eating gummy worms, and it's under control. we're slightly moving off Halloween into the proper episode, but this is late in life adjustment that I'm quite famously lactose intolerant, and my reaction to that has been to replace certain foods with dairy-free alternatives. I do that with a lot of cheeses with my cooking. Sometimes I will play Russian roulette and eat something with dairy in it and bear the consequences afterwards. And some things I have just completely cut out of my life and found no replacement for. And that's how I've operated for 22 years at this point. And one such thing was ice cream. I would never like poison myself with regular ice cream. And I would never try to find any of the dairy-free alternatives until recently. Until like 2 weeks ago, I was in the supermarket and they have so many dairy-free ice cream options now that I'm just like, let me get it. I'm not a dessert person. I don't usually eat anything after dinner. Those two things mean the same thing. But I am a very reward-based animal and I've started using dairy-free ice cream as my reward for a good day's work and after a run or something. Soren is delightful. I'm having so much fun eating ice cream again for the first time in 22 years.
What's the base of it? What are they using instead of milk?
Some of them use coconut milk. And if you like coconut, you'll like that. That might sound like an obvious thing, but there's, in the way that some like vegan meat alternatives don't actually try to taste like the meat. They just try to taste like something else that's tasty. That's what coconut replacement things does. They're not trying to imitate strawberry ice cream. This is like strawberry with a little hint of coconut to it. And if you don't like coconut, it all tastes very overbearing. And the other ones that I like use soy. And that's what I've been going real hard on these last 2 weeks.
Well, it can be, sometimes it's a little thicker. Like I've had chocolate milk that's either almond milk or soy milk. And I find that it's more like a milkshake than regular milk. I kind of enjoy it more.
There's this soy ice cream that I've been eating is it's gonna sound unappealing, sandier than normal ice cream, but I love it. There's something about that texture that really does it for me.
Oh, that's troubling. It's got like a sawdustiness to it.
Yeah, haven't you ever like fantasized about eating a bowl of a little bit wet sand?
Wait, when you put a big spoon into this, does it just sort of crumble around the spoon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Okay.
It's not perfect. There's a lot of aspects of the ice cream DNA that we can't crack yet, even though we've got some of our top minds on it. Yeah. We're just that last code sequence, we're not dealing with it. Right.
Right. You couldn't put that on a cone.
No, absolutely not. And I love that some of these different, because I'm trying a lot of different ones to see what I like the best, and a lot of them have fun little rules on them where it's like, sometimes our ice cream gets too cold, so you have to leave it out for a little bit before you enjoy it. Let it sit on the counter. And I'm like, good, I like an extra step in my dessert process.
Not to throw my wife under the bus, but the way that she enjoys ice cream is wrong. I get so confused because like the ice cream will just be out. And I'll be like, it's out. Like, I don't want it to melt. I'll put it away. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm getting it ready. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. And if we're all eating ice cream and she wants to eat some ice cream, she likes it real soft. She likes, basically, I think she likes milkshakes and she only pretends to like ice cream. Because what she's always, the consistency she's aiming for is milkshake.
Yeah.
To the point where my wife has been known to microwave ice cream. I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. Dear. It's head first crazy. And I tell her that at every opportunity, but it is really strange the way in the ice cream sandwiches, she doesn't care about structural stability at all. She wants it to be melted in the middle. And so she just leaves these things out on the counter and I'm just staring at it because I'm like, you're ruining it. You're ruining it. Also the problem with ice cream is when you leave it out like that, it melts and then refreezes and then melts and refreezes. It starts to get that ice on the top.
Yeah.
The top of it becomes like milky sherbet. And it's so gross. And she's ruining my ice cream.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well,
this probably sounds like boring podcast fodder, and it is. But I can't stress enough how novel this brief dip into ice cream has been for me as someone who, like, because unless you're at a very specific restaurant, dessert does not really cater to the dairy-free crowd.
No.
And it's just been years of Thanksgiving where it's like, dessert is served. It's like, all right, well, guess I'll go home. I'm not going to have some pie and ice cream or anything. And so it's very foreign to me. And now that I have this little treat for myself, it's just wonderful.
I'm really happy for you, Dan.
Thanks,
buddy. It's nice to find out that there are things out there that you thought weren't for you but are.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is so nice. well, we should start our show,
I guess.
Dan, I have a quick question for you.
Go.
You get a mosquito bite. Do you scratch it? First of all, do you scratch it? And if you do scratch it, do you scratch it until it bleeds so that it doesn't itch anymore?
I do not scratch it. The most I will do is that apocryphal, possibly bullshit technique of doing a little X with my fingernails. Are you familiar with this?
What?
Really?
Okay. I think I know what you're talking about. Are you making a Phillips head screw head on top of your mosquito bite?
Yes.
And that works?
I don't know. That's something that's why I say it's possibly bullshit. It's something it's like an old wives' tale where it perhaps works. I've never looked into it. Or perhaps it's just something that parents do to trick their kids into not scratching. Because they'll say, here's what you do. You make a little X with your fingernail and then it'll stop itching. And so you do that and then you don't scratch it. And if it works, I think it's all inside your head.
I've never heard of that.
Wow.
That's very interesting. Maybe I'll try and introduce that to my son. What I've always done is if I have a mosquito bite that's beyond itching, where it's just too much, is that I will do a, imagine this, my two fingers, my middle finger and my index finger, I spread them apart around the bite. I never actually itch on the bite. I itch in proximity to it. I have like a force field around it, essentially, in both directions. So I'm making what will...
Why are you fucking edging yourself? What is this? What do you get from it?
Very little relief. But maybe just enough that like eventually it will stop itching. My assumption is always that as soon as you start touching the mosquito bite and actually like putting some pressure on it, that you just make it worse. You're just going to make the itch worse.
Okay.
So I try not to touch them at all. So that this is the my one release that I have, which is I make what will end up looking like a hashtag with my fingers around it.
Okay.
Now, the reason I ask is because I was at a play date this past weekend and the dad had a scabbed over mosquito bite on his leg. And then I looked up and happened to notice he also had a scabbed over mosquito bite on his arm. And for me, that is always 100% a red flag okay. on a human being's character. That if they don't have the impulse control to not scratch a mosquito bite, that's a problem.
Yes. I would, that feels like a common problem for a child.
Yes. Yeah. And we all know if you just don't scratch your mosquito bite, it will not itch the next day even. You can solve that problem in like a day and a half, basically. But if you itch it, it's going to continue to stick around. And then if you itch it so much that it scabs over, now you've got a scab to deal with for a week.
Yeah.
Like you just have to have some impulse control to not scratch your mosquito bites. Go ahead.
I don't even think of terms of like when the itch will go away if you leave it alone or having to deal with a scab. There's just, for as immature as I could be about a lot of things, there's something ingrained in me that's like, yeah, you don't need to itch that because you're not a child. You know that you're never supposed to scratch almost anything on your body that irritates you. That's like a law that we all have to live with. You deal with it. And if you don't, you're a clown. You're a brain-dead clown idiot.
And that's what I was thinking of this man. I was thinking also that it says not only says a lot about you as a person because you don't have the impulse control to deal with that, but also as a parent, because I started to really go down this rabbit hole thinking about how having a toddler, having a young child is like a mosquito bite in that they want very specific things. They're going to like nag you for that thing. And if you just don't relent, like if it's a thing you don't want to give them, it's something they can't have, then if you just don't relent in that first, you know, day that they're asking for it, then you're fine. At that point, after that, they know they're not allowed to have it. But the minute that in a moment of weakness or whatever, that you cave and you scratch that thing and you're like, yeah, fine, here, have it. Then not only do they think they can get anything out of you as soon as they wear you down far enough, but also no means nothing anymore. That initial no does not mean anything. And like it becomes infinitely harder to raise a kid after no doesn't mean anything anymore.
Right.
And how you can be that short-sighted, like as a parent, you learn very quickly not to be that short-sighted to the point where you're staking your flag in the sand over things like, you're not allowed to use that pencil. Because like, it just becomes this thing where like, maybe you were using it at one point and they're like, can I see that? And you're like, no, I don't think so. And then if they keep going, like, well, why not? Can I just have it? Then you have to be like, no, suddenly this pencil is very important. This is now our new battleground. This thing is important to me. And you have to pretend that like shit, like there's reasons that they can't have this thing because you already said no once and you fucked up. And so you have to be very careful about the things that you say no to and the things that you say yes to. And in that way, I was like, it's just like a mosquito bite where the minute I give in, I fuck myself. Like that's it.
Yeah.
Now this is no longer just a 10-minute problem. This now becomes a week-long problem.
Yeah. How was the play date otherwise?
Sucked. I hate play dates. Especially this time of year. It just feels like the sun is harsher. It's always outside for good reason. Sure. But the sun is just, I don't know how it does it this time of year. Because it's so low in the sky, it's always in your eyes. And I'm never comfortable. I'm never happy. If we're in a park, the There's going to be three slides we can't use because they're in the sun and they're just too hot on your kid. And you got to choose the one slide that everybody else is on, and then all the kids are going to be climbing up that slide. And if I want to play games with my child, I'm going to make it fun because I want to play the game. I want it to be something that I'm not bored by. And the minute that happens, all the other kids are like, well, they're having fun. I want to play that game with them because their parents are sitting on a bench on their phone. Yeah. And so that's like the dream. That's what you should be doing, by the way. Don't ever play with your kids in a park because you'll fuck yourself. Go sit on a bench like every other parent and you're like, no, you kids figure it out. You learn how to play with each other.
Now I'm curious, not about playground stuff. Mosquitoes were not a problem for me when I lived in Los Angeles. In Jersey, they seemed like they were everywhere. And they're certainly they're a part of my life here in New York now. But I didn't think there was enough like swamp-ass water anywhere in L.A., in like the civilized L.A., to breed enough mosquitoes to be part of your life.
Well, I don't even know if I believe me when I say this. I think they're new.
Ooh.
Yeah. There's something maybe called a tiger mosquito. They're like a smaller mosquito. They really go for your legs. They don't want anything up above that. That's like their bread and butter is your legs.
Okay.
And
breaking report, just Googled mosquitoes Los Angeles. From October 7th, 2021, officials warn of invasive mosquito species surging in. And then I have to click the link if I want to see where the in is regarding. And I'm not going to do that, but I assume Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Invasive.
Yeah, it does.
AEDs? Wow. Climate change lets mosquitoes flourish and feast in Los Angeles. Man, I got out at the right time.
You really did. You're right. For a long time, mosquitoes just weren't a thing here. And it feels like this is brand new and they're bad. They're bad here. And to the point where I went to Minnesota over the summer and everyone warned me about the mosquitoes there. And I got there and I was like, no big deal. These mosquitoes are fat and slow and there aren't actually that many. And maybe it's because they were having a drought in Minnesota too. And they've got their own weather related to global warming going on.
Yeah, climate change affects us all in quirky and specific ways, you know. Horses for courses.
The mosquitoes here are like a nightmare. And you don't even have to be near a body of water. We're nowhere near water at my house. And they're still, they love it here. And they love us. And they love, they particularly love my wife and my son for whatever reason. Their blood's different, I guess. Mm-hmm. But my daughter and I, we can kind of skate by a little bit.
Man. That sends my brain reeling because your wife and your son look so similar and you and your daughter look so similar. And I know that that's not because of blood.
Maybe it is.
It's a good theory right now.
Yeah, it doesn't seem wrong yet.
I'm putting a puzzle together. I'm like, yeah, that kind of looks like a corner. I think that looks like Sky.
Yeah, for some reason, they both get really bad reactions to mosquito bites. Bug bites in general, but my sons are, this is part of the reason I think so much about mosquito bites, is that if he's outside, he loves to take his clothes off. So he loves to be in his underwear no matter what. And for the most part, we allow him to be feral around the house and in our backyard. But when it's in the late evening twilight.
Hey, you did your best.
Era, hour, I mean. Then I'll make him put clothes on. And I get mad at him if he's out there without him because it's so reckless for him. Because if they bite him, they blister on his legs. I don't know what he's doing, if it's him itching it or what it is. But the mosquito bite doesn't just act like a normal mosquito bite. It starts to get really, really big and it starts to get clear and there's clear fluid inside of it. So it starts to just like blister and looks terrible. And when they pop, it's just so painful for him. So I'm trying to trying to get through it, Dan.
Yeah. Sorry that you guys are dealing with this surge of mosquitoes. That's a real surprise. That's such a bummer. Hey, listeners, quick question, titular moment. How are you feeling today? If the answer is anything less than great, it's time to learn more and demand better for your body. Take control of your health and well-being with an at-home lab test from Everlywell. A quick question to the second. How do you feel after you eat? If you're struggling with discomfort, bloating, or other stomach issues, your body may be sending you a signal. But what is it trying to say, your body? Learn more about your body's response to everyday foods and set yourself up for success with a two-part elimination diet with Everlywell. There are certain things in life that are difficult to understand. For one personal example off the jack, I couldn't actually tell you what shaving cream does, but knowing how to feel your best shouldn't be one of those things. Everly Well can help you learn more about your body so you can finally take control of your health and wellness on your own time. Everly Well offers affordable at-home lab tests that give you trusted, physician-reviewed results. Choose from tests including food sensitivity, metabolism, sleep, and stress, thyroid, and so much more. Let me tell you how it works. You go to everlywell.com/QQ and you choose your test. Everly Well ships your test straight to your door with everything needed for a simple sample collection. Return the test to a CLIA certified lab with a prepaid shipping label. Then your physician reviewed results and insights are sent to your device in just days. Over 1 million people have trusted Everly Well with their at-home lab testing. And for listeners of this show, Everly Well is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/QQ. That's everlywell.com/QQ for 20% off your at-home lab test. For 20% off your at-home lab test, everlywell.com/QQ. I guess that makes me think about the impact that bugs had on my life as a kid that I thought was going to continue on for the rest of my life and simply didn't. I feel like I was always getting mosquito bites as a kid, and like bee stings were an ongoing concern. I was constantly worried that I was going to get stung by bees. I would get stung by bees every once in a while. My brothers and cousins were always getting the shit stung out of them by wasps in various parks. And it was just like a part of life that disappeared as I got older. I guess I'm just not outdoors enough or not in the woods as much as I used to be.
I think you're not rolling around as much.
Yeah.
It's really, that's the times that my son has gotten stung. It's because he's rolling around on things. He's like out in nature. You're generally the only thing that's touching the ground is the sole of your shoe. And as a kid, first of all, you're not wearing shoes some of the time, so you're getting stung on the bottom of your feet. But also you're just like, you're on the ground.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like it would be a whole new narrative if I ran into an adult who was scratching their arms, like, "Yeah, I got poison ivy." I'm like, "What the fuck? That's for kids. What happened? I got poison ivy and pink eye. Jesus!
Oh no,
you can't come to work today.
In fact, you should not even have a job yet. You should have a mother who takes care of you." So I took a Colleen and her friend on a hike when we were younger. We had just graduated college, and I didn't understand the habitat of Los Angeles yet. All I saw was a hill behind the house that I lived in Burbank, and I thought, I will climb that. And they said, "Can we come?" And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." And so we made a day of it where we climbed this thing, but there was no trail. And the way that chaparral habitat works is that it's just this scrubby, thorny bushes that are unrelenting and awful. And you're just sort of like pushing through them is next to impossible. And it was such a bad idea for us to have gone. We went, I finally, at a certain point, they turned back. They thought this wasn't worth it, smartly. And I pushed on to the top, realized there was a road that went down the back of it. As I was getting to the top, there was a woman at the top just smoking a cigarette and watching me. And I was like, "What the fuck? How'd you get up here?" She had driven and then went back down. I thought, well, that was a lost day. And I got back down. My wife and then girlfriend and then her friend were just covered in poison oak on their legs. Whatever we had walked through, we didn't know what it looked like then. We were too young, and they had gotten it so badly, and I had none. And I started researching it and realized that there are a lot of people who just poison oak and poison ivy don't affect them at all.
Oh, that's handy.
Yeah, so I'm curious about my children. I mean, obviously, I don't want to test it. I don't know a way to do that, because it spreads. Even if you itch it, even it starts to spread. So, but I'm just sort of hoping that they inherit that from me, that they aren't allergic to that, or not even an allergy, if they just don't have an effect from it.
Yeah. Hey, Soren, I got a quick question for you.
Yeah, shoot.
What a time to stretch. Hey, what do you what do you do when you mishear a lyric in a song? And I'll expand on that a little bit. I was listening to Seth Rudetsky on Broadway on Sirius XM, and he was talking about a lyric from Lin-Manuel Miranda's In the Heights that he just got for the first time. There's a lyric in the opening number where Usnavi says, "They gossip as I sip my coffee and smirk." And because of his accent and the dialect that he's spinning into, those phrases rhyme. They gossip as I sip my coffee and smirk. And it's something that a cute rhyme that I liked when I first heard the song, but Seth Rudesky, the host of this radio program, didn't hear it and until recently, and for years, the entirety of his time listening to that song, assumed it was a word he didn't know. He thought it was "they gossip a zossip." Just like a word could have been in a different language, could have been an English word that he hadn't learned yet, and he just accepted it as part of the song and until he learned better. And I realized that that's the same thing that I do with songs. If there is a word that doesn't scan to me and doesn't make sense contextually, I won't dwell on it at all. And I think there are a couple of different ways to react to a misheard lyric. One of them, obviously, is to like Google it so you can find what people are saying. One of them is to embrace the nonsense as I do. And one of them is to try to square a circle, essentially, and take a lyric and make it fit into what makes sense for you for context. Like there's a, my brother does this. There's a Ben Folds Five song called Jackson Cannery. And one of the lyrics in the first verse is saying, "Stop the bus," over and over again. And he ends that chunk of lyric with, "I'll get off here," like "stop the bus, I'll get off here," blah, blah, blah. And my brother misheard that as "get on the wheel." And he assumed, and that fit with his brain because wheels, yeah. Bus, like maybe it's the steering wheel, maybe something, but he just assumed like, "stop the bus, get on the wheel." It's like, yeah, okay, great. And then we told him the proper lyric. That I think is harder to do, but it's another reaction to mishearing a lyric is like, how do I make this make sense with what I know previously?
Right. I'll just choose words that seem to fit and that fit enough and that are related to what it's been seen. Yeah.
Versus me, who the first time I listened to Under the Sea from Little Mermaid, what do they got under the sand? We got a hot crustacean band. I heard that as hot bustacean. And I was like, yeah, bustacean. I'm 12. I haven't learned that word yet. I assume there's lots of words I don't know. It's a bustacean. Yeah, it's a hot bustacean band. Come on. It's one of those bands that's like hot. I'm sure one day someone will teach me bustacean as a word.
I'm in your brother's camp. I will. Yeah, I will. The sentence won't necessarily make sense. Like I won't fully rewrite a lyric because I don't understand a whole sentence to be something that I can get my head around, but I'll just choose words that feel close enough to the context. Like, I do this a lot with bands like The Shins. The Shins I find very difficult to understand when they're singing. And for a long time, my old roommate, Dan, also a Dan, big friend of the show, Dan Campana,
we designed our logo.
He did. We would listen to The Shins and there's a song New Slang, which I think everybody knows because it was in that terrible
Garden
movie,
State.
But yep, there's the one.
Did I say Garden State fast enough that it overshadowed whatever you were going to qualify that movie with?
No, I think that's perfect. I mean, I haven't checked in on that movie in a long time. That would be a good one to go back to and be like, is this actually... I loved it at the time.
Yeah.
But does it hold up? So we were listening to New Slang, and there's the chorus of the song is like, it goes New Slang when you notice the, and I didn't know what these next lyrics were. I thought it was New Slang when you notice the strife caught dead in your life, and that's just how I would sing it. It didn't make a ton of sense, but it was like, okay, these words fit in a song. Strife feels like something you put in a song. Dead and life in the same lyric, like those two things go really well together in a song.
And crucially, they're all words. You're singing words,
real words,
and not assuming that you haven't learned this word yet.
And so I was singing it. We weren't listening to the song, but Dan and I were in the car and I just happened to be singing it. And he was like, you know, it's the funniest thing. And I'm going to feel silly for this, but I thought it was when you noticed the lines of dirt in your fries. I was like, of dirt in your fries? That's very, very funny. That's one of those moments where you like just hear a song lyric wrong and it's complete nonsense. That's very silly. And so then from then on, when there'd be like something going wrong in our life, we'd be like, oh man, it's dirt in my fries. And then we looked up the lyrics at some point. I don't know why we didn't do it for years, but we looked it up. He's right. The song is New Slang when you notice the stripes of dirt in your fries.
Stupid.
I was like, I don't think I like The Shins anymore. I didn't understand the other lyrics, but I really don't like that.
Yeah.
Another one that I do that for a lot is Bon Iver. Are you familiar with Bon Iver at all?
Oh yeah, Justin Hernan.
Yeah. Yeah. Bon Iver can't understand a single word in any of their songs. And so I just sort of like make stuff up that sounds right. If I know the title of the song, boy, that helps a lot, because then I can just use approximate words.
Yeah.
But it's always, it ends up being nonsense. It's just their actual words.
It reminds me, but makes me realize how long I can listen to and like a song without having any idea what the fuck it's about.
Yes.
And like not even sitting and thinking about the lyrics. Because sometimes when I do learn lyrics for a song that I've been missinging as nonsense for so long, I'm like, oh wow, this whole song is like about something, huh? There's like a story to it. I see. He wasn't just doing like weird mouth shapes to make noise come out.
Yeah, in fact, it will, just like New Slang, like there's a lot of songs that are ruined for me once I actually learn what the lyrics are. I love a song and I'm very excited about it, and like I have no idea what's being said in it until I listen to it, and then I'm like, oh no, that's not so good. I'm not as excited about it anymore.
Yeah. There's only one time that my method has ever worked out for me, and it's a song. There's been a lot of like, this Broadway shit keeps coming up for me today. There's a song from the last 5 years where the lyric is, without some new Suris in our relationship. That's not the lyric, but like Suris, and then the rest of the lyric continues. But the word was Suris, and that's like a word that sounded like nonsense to me, but I sang it every time that part of the song came up. And like in my head, knew how to spell it, didn't know what it meant. It was just the noise that happens in that song. And then eventually bought the soundbook for Last 5 Years, and it's Suris. It's spelled like it is in my head too. It's T-S-U-R-I-S, and it's like a Yiddish word.
What?
It's the only time I've ever like heard a nonsense word that I assumed was either a word I haven't learned yet or a word in another language, sang what it sounded like, and then was proven to be right later.
I just looked it up, and the first definition says, "It's first of all, it's a noun. It's informal North American. It says trouble or woe or aggravation." And then here's the sample sentence they give: "The NBA has its share of Suris these days."
That's such a bonkers. Can you use it in a sentence, please? It's.
It's also, I guess the plural is the same as the singular. The NBA has its share of Suris these days. It would have to be plural there.
Yeah. And it's if you're someone who pays attention to a lot of basketball, Suris probably doesn't come up like that.
No,
that's not the color commentator saying, like watching a game and be like, ah. Tell you what, I'm a broken record about this, but the NBA sure has its share of Suris these days. Am I right, Joe?
Absolutely right, Marv. it doesn't come up. That's very
And also
funny.
If you're like trying to just not to paint with too broad a brush, but it's a Yiddish word that I learned from musical theater. So if I'm trying to learn the definition and their go-to pull quote is the NBA has its share of Suris these days, well, you're lucky that I watch basketball. Yeah. But that's a real swing for you.
It really is.
Oxford English Dictionary.
I will say though that to your credit, there are songs that sound like nonsense to me, and I enjoy memorizing the nonsense. Like Sublime was a lot like that when I was younger, where Sublime, he would occasionally sing in really broken bad Spanish.
Yeah.
And at the time I just thought it was, oh, he knows Spanish. And so I would memorize his Spanish and really enjoyed doing that. Like I liked knowing a song so well that I could just do that. There's another band called Orishas, which is like they're a Cuban band, and they're a hip hop band, but they rap in Spanish, and it's so cool. It sounds so great. And throughout my life, I've just sort of enjoyed memorizing nonsense to me. I shouldn't call Spanish nonsense,
No.
What is nonsense to me?
Yeah, I went on several dates years ago with a woman who listened almost exclusively to French pop in her car. And so whenever she was driving, that's what we would listen to. And it's really contagious. You really want to sing. I think we could still make fun of French people. You want to sing French nonsense. You want to sing that bullshit. Yes. Just be like, ooh, je ne peux jamais, and like do what it sounds like to you with some tones under it.
Yeah. It gives you like this sense of mastery over a language that doesn't necessarily exist.
Yeah, and it's if you got writer's block from a songwriting perspective, it's so much easier to write lyrics in nonsense French than it is in English.
Oh man.
If you ever tried to rhyme stuff, it's hard. But in France, in my version of French, it's super easy.
Yeah. And the song can mean whatever you want it to mean.
Yeah.
I guess I'm more in your brother's camp though. I will just, if there's something approximate that's even close, when we were kids, my brother and I would listen to the Beach Boys and the song, what's that? Key Largo, Montego, baby, yeah. Why don't we go? What is that? What's that song called?
Bermuda, Bahamas. Kokomo?
The floor. Kokomo. Yeah, Kokomo. We'll get there faster if we take it slow is the lyric. But my brother and I heard it as, we'll get there faster if we take a boat. And we were just like, makes sense. Better than swimming.
I'm just learning now. I thought it was, we'll get there fast or we can take it slow.
Oh,
like no. Like it's such a relaxed journey that he doesn't even care how we get there. They just know they're going to get there.
Right. He's given options at that point. He's not telling you the way we're going to go. He's like,
look, we can take it slow. But the actual lyrics are, we'll get there faster
if we take it slow, yeah.
Huh.
Oh, maybe he says we'll get there fast and then we'll take it slow. Oh, boy. Came out hot with the Kokomo and I don't think I know it.
Da, 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 da. We'll get there fast and then we'll take it slow.
And then we'll take it slow. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll get there faster if we take a boat. Just made sense.
Yeah. Is that long enough to be an episode of this show?
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely. Okay, well, anybody, if you want to tell Dan or I about songs that you don't understand the lyrics to and that you've made up your own lyrics to, you can do that on Twitter at @DOB_Inc. And that's the only place you should do that. That's Daniel's and my Twitter account that we share together. just go to that one. You can also follow us on QQ_Soren and Dan. You can email us at QQ with Soren and Daniel@gmail.com. And you can find us on our Patreon if you want to support the show. I don't know why you possibly would. You're already doing a lot. You're listening to the show, and I appreciate that. You've listened clearly to the end. That's valuable to us. You can go to Patreon/QuickQuestion. You can find us there. Also, if you want to donate to our Patreon, I think if you donate the $5 amount monthly, you get to ask questions, and then we do bonus episodes in which we answer those questions.
I think there's only the $5 amount now, right?
Oh, is that the only option?
I think so. If it's not the only option, that's certainly the option that we're trying to steer people towards.
Yeah, the best. The best one. Gold tier is what we call it.
Please do not give us more than $5.
I don't think they're allowed to.
If you have to give us anything, give us $5.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.